Welcome to The Law of the Harvest, an American Family Radio Labor Day presentation featuring Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray is a frequent co-host of Today's Issues and serves as president of Keep Believing Ministries. And now, Ray Pritchard with The Law of the Harvest.
Labor Day is always an in-between holiday. It's in between the 4th of July and Thanksgiving, and it's in between summer and fall. Even though this day celebrates the working men and women of America, most of us have the day off. We celebrate our work by going to the beach, grilling in the backyard, and spending time with our loved ones. It's good to take a break now and then. Enjoy this holiday because tomorrow comes soon enough. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the law of the harvest. Shortly after the terror attacks on 9/11, a friend and I discussed the spiritual implications for America. My friend commented that this ought to be a wake-up call to every Christian to seek first the kingdom of God. It's time for each of us to figure out what really matters and then get busy doing it. When the bombs fall and tall buildings crumble, it's time for each of us to think about what we've been living for. As the Apostle John remarked, "This world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." 1 John 2:17. That's a verse we ought to memorize and then tattoo on our souls. Since the things of this world won't last forever, it doesn't make sense for us to live as though they will. We've got to find out what will last forever and then build our lives around those things. Life is short and uncertain. 15 years after 9/11, who can say they feel safe? In this world, no one is secure, and the building has yet to be built that cannot be destroyed somehow, some way. Nothing is more important than building our lives upon eternal realities so we will be ready to meet the Lord no matter what happens today or tomorrow. Galatians 6:6-10 challenges us to think about this issue from the standpoint of sowing and reaping. It reminds us that choices have consequences and God cannot be fooled. Even though we may fool ourselves and we may think we are fooling God, He cannot be deceived. This passage contains 7 principles that explain the law of the harvest. These 7 principles point the way to true spiritual prosperity and the life God blesses. Before we begin, I'd like you to think about 2 questions. Number 1. What have you been sowing? Number 2, are you happy with what you've been reaping? Hold these questions in your mind because we'll come back to them at the end. But first, let's look together at the 7 principles that make up the law of the harvest. Principle number 1, wherever you receive spiritual benefit, there you owe a spiritual debt. Galatians 6:6. Anyone who receives instruction in the Word must share all good things with his instructor. This is a very general statement of responsibility with a very wide application. All of us receive instruction in the Word from a variety of sources. It may be from a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, from a vacation Bible school teacher, from a small group leader, or a personal mentor. Many of you receive great help from ministries like American Family Radio. Many of us are instructed in the Word by the books we read and the music we listen to. The list also includes Christian camps, colleges, Bible institutes, and seminaries. The point is not where you receive the instruction, but how you respond to it. If we want to reap a harvest of blessing, we must share all good things with those who instruct us in the things of the Lord. We owe a great debt of love and gratitude, and we owe a debt of encouragement and prayer. Often, we will show our support in practical ways, such as through a financial gift. If you have received a benefit, let that teacher or minister know. Tell them, don't wait, do it. Paul says, we must do this. It is a sacred obligation. If you have been helped by some ministry, by some church, by some pastor, by some Bible teacher, don't just be a taker, be a giver as well. Loosen your purse strings and give them some support. You will be greatly blessed by God, and those ministers and ministries will be enriched. Principle number 2, you reap only what you sow. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, that is, the flesh, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. The principle itself is easy to understand. If you plant apple seeds, apple trees are what you get. Plant pumpkin seeds in the spring, and during October, you harvest round orange pumpkins. You can't plant carrots and expect to harvest corn, and you can't plant wheat and expect to harvest rice. You reap only what you sow. That's true in the spiritual realm as well. You can't sow to the flesh all day long and then complain when you reap a harvest of corruption in your life. What did you expect? Did you think you could be angry and bitter and grouchy and irritable and bossy and rude and quick-tempered and pugnacious and basically a grade-A jerk and then cancel it all away with a quick prayer asking for God's blessing? It doesn't work that way. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. And you reap only what you sow every day. So make sure you are sowing your seeds in the right field if you want to reap a harvest of God's blessings. Principle number 3, you reap far more than what you sow. This point is closely tied to the preceding one. An acorn is a tiny thing, but it contains within itself a mighty towering oak tree. A pumpkin seed is small compared with the massive pumpkin it produces. Even the smallest carrot is many times larger than the largest carrot seed. The size of the seed does not determine the size of the harvest. That's why the text warns on the negative side, do not be deceived. It's so easy to deceive ourselves, you cannot escape the consequences of your actions. Sin always carries a high price tag. You can ignore God, but you dare not laugh in His face. When you think you are getting away with sin, God says, judgment day is coming. You sow to the wind, but you reap the whirlwind. Some think that if no one knows, they have escaped. Or if it's in the past, it's forgotten forever. Or if they try to make it up by doing good deeds or being religious, they can somehow avoid punishment. It's not that way. God will not be mocked. Sin always leaves its mark in us and on us. You can shoot an arrow into the sky and repent while it is in the air, but that won't stop the arrow from hitting the ground. Repentance pardons your sin, but it does not cancel the consequences. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Satan pays off in compound interest, but so does the Lord. No one will ever regret serving the Lord. There are rich rewards in this life and unimagined glory in the life to come. Principle number 4, reaping a godly harvest requires patience and persistence. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Galatians 6:9. Anyone who has ever farmed for a living knows exactly what this verse means. It's one thing to plant a few tomatoes in your backyard. It's something else to plant 5,000 acres of wheat. Full-time farming is a year-round task. You start early and you work late, 52 weeks a year. There is no end of the jobs that need to be done. Even during the winter, there is equipment to maintain and preparation to be made for the upcoming planting season. You don't get a harvest by accident, and you can't treat it as a weekend hobby. If you want the harvest, you've got to work when you feel like giving up. I ran across a well-known quotation from Calvin Coolidge on the importance of persistence over the long haul. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with great talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence, determination alone are omnipotent. This is especially true in the spiritual realm. Because we live in a fallen world and deal constantly with fallen people, it's easy to grow weary and say, what's the use? Sometimes what we need is a little reality check. Life is hard. Deal with it. People are jerks. Love them anyway. Things don't go as we planned. Keep on moving forward. People forget to say thank you. Help them anyway. People are hard-headed. Share Christ with them anyway. Not all your prayers are answered. Keep on praying. God doesn't do what you think he should do. Trust him anyway. You may be scared and filled with fear. Keep believing. Your friends criticize you. Do right anyway. Do you feel like quitting? It's always too soon to quit. Let us keep on sowing, even if through our tears and with a weary heart. In the end, we will rejoice when the harvest finally comes in. Here is all God asks of us. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't grow weary. Keep on going. There will be a wonderful harvest to come. That harvest will come partly in this life, and much of it will come when we finally get to heaven. Who knows? Perhaps we will look down from heaven and find out that we changed someone's life simply because every day we smiled and said hello. Principle number 5, we must seize the opportunity before it disappears. Our passage comes to a very practical end with a word of application. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's Galatians 6, verse 10. The word opportunity comes from the Greek word kairos, which is sometimes translated time. However, it's not a word that means the passing of the hours one by one. It refers to those moments in life when a door of opportunity opens before us and we have a choice to make. Will we go through the door or will we hesitate until it closes? We all have opportunities to do good if we will take them when they come. Every day, there are moments when we can say a word of encouragement. There are times when we can get involved in solving someone's problem if only we will stop and listen. Will we have the time, or will our personal schedule keep us from listening and helping? You may be eating lunch when a coworker begins to open up about her fears over the future because of the crisis in the world. Millions of people are talking openly about God these days. This is a kairos moment for the Church of Jesus Christ, if only we will take it. But no door stays open forever. A sculptor once showed his studio to a friend who spotted a very strange statue. It was the figure of a man with hair completely covering his face and wings on each foot. "What is the name of that statue?" he asked. The sculptor replied, "His name is Opportunity." "Why is his face hidden?" "Because men seldom know when he comes to them." "Why are there wings on his feet?" "Because he is soon gone, and when he departs, he cannot be overtaken." There are so many opportunities to serve the Lord. It may involve teaching Sunday school, sending gospel books to New York City, restoring the fallen, buying Bibles for high school students, or building an orphanage in India, praying for prisoners, visiting the sick and dying, teaching in the inner city, leading an Awana club, sharing Christ in some distant land, giving meals to the hungry, counseling to the confused, saving a failing marriage, or giving money to someone in need. The list is endless because the needs of people are endless. Principle number 6, we owe a debt to the whole world. George Washington Carver said it this way: "How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong, because someday in life you will have been all of these." Our calling is to do good to all people. We owe a debt to the whole world, to Jew and Gentile, Muslim and Hindu, Buddhist and animist, to young and old, rich and poor, to the country dweller and the man who lives in the city, to the happy, to the sad, to the high, to the low, to those who please us, to those who displease us, to those who like us, to those who don't like us. Paul said, "I am a debtor to all men," Romans 1:15. Because of God's grace to us, we owe something to everyone, to African, Asian, South American, European, Arab, Jew, and to every other nationality and ethnic group on earth. That debt is to show kindness to everyone and to do good wherever we can, whenever we can, however we can do it. And what is the greatest good we can do? Is it not to share the greatest news in the whole world, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's absolutely right that we should give so that hurting people have a place to stay and a way to rebuild their shattered lives. But if that's all we do, if we stop there and do no more, if all we do is meet physical needs, we haven't met the greatest need in the world. People need Jesus. They need to hear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They need to hear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They need to know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They need to hear the amazing great good news that 2,000 years ago, on the other side of the world, God in heaven sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, born in a stable, laid in a manger, born to Mary and Joseph, born of a virgin, raised under the law, a man who lived a sinless life, a man who in all of his thoughts, words, and deeds always please God. The world needs to know who Jesus is, what he said, and why he came. And most of all, they need to know that our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, the innocent dying for the guilty, the good dying for the bad, the just dying for the unjust. They need to know that he became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. People need Jesus. They need to know that he died on the cross, bearing their sins. They need to know that he was buried in the ground. They need to know that on the third day, literally, physically, bodily, Jesus Christ came back from the dead. They need to know that he ascended into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And they need to know that one day Jesus Christ is coming back to the earth. And most of all, they need to know that eternal life can be theirs simply for the asking. We need to go tell the whole world that it's not about what you do, it's about what Jesus Christ has already done. We need to share the great good news that salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we need to go to South America, Africa, Asia, to Bangladesh, to New Zealand, to Guam, to South Korea, to North Korea, to Japan, to Finland, to Sweden, to Denmark, to Germany, to Moldova, to Bulgaria, to Romania, to Ukraine, to Azerbaijan, to Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan and all the other Stan countries. We need to go to Africa. We need to go to South America. We need to go to every nation, every province, every country, every city, every hamlet. We need to spread the good news. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. We need to let the world know that they can be saved through the death of Christ. Their sins can be forgiven, and they can have eternal life as an absolutely free gift. Let us then do the greatest good and share Christ wherever we are with anyone who is willing to listen. And while we are at it, let's do any other good we can as well. Principle number 7, start with the needs closest to you. Paul's final instruction is this: we are under a special obligation to show kindness to those who are part of the family of God. I interpret this broadly, not narrowly, because our faith joins us with Christians everywhere. We have a sacred responsibility to do good to Christians everywhere. That certainly applies to the local church you attend, but it reaches out to include other churches in your community and Christian ministries of all kinds and to missionaries in distant lands. And on a more personal basis, it means having a godly concern for fellow believers in your own family, on your own block, in your Sunday school class, and in the place where you work or go to school. There's another way to say this. If we want to sow good seed, here is a simple way to do it. Start where you are. Start where you are. Start with the needs around you. Start with the people you know and meet and see every day. Then open your eyes to wider horizons. Pray for God to give you open doors. Pray the Jabez prayer. Ask God to give you more so you can do more for the Lord. Look to your left. Look to your right. Look in front. Look behind. Open your eyes, and you will see needs on every hand. You can't meet them all, but you can do something. My friends, no church ever died by giving too much, but many churches have died by giving too little. It is impossible to be overgenerous in the work of the Lord. We ought to give and then give again and keep on giving. Why? Because when you give to God, you are sowing to the Spirit, and from the Spirit, you will reap a vast harvest. Don't complain that the world is dark. Light a candle instead. Is this not what Jesus meant when he said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven"? Matthew 5:16. The good deeds that we perform, when done in Jesus' name, shine a light in the darkness and point others toward God. So here's the question. How many more buildings will have to crumble before the rest of us come to the same conclusion? This world is passing away. Those who live solely for the things of this world are building sandcastles in the air. They will come to the end of life with nothing of eternal value to show for their efforts. It's time for God's people to heed the message. Life is short. Life is precious. Seek first the kingdom of God. Stop sowing to the flesh. Start sowing to the Spirit. I remember standing in front of the smoking ruins of the World Trade Center about 5 weeks after the attack on September 11, 2001. As our group made its way through Lower Manhattan, the stench and the smell was everywhere. It was almost overwhelming to the senses to see what a handful of terrorists had wrought. I remember standing there and seeing those smoking ruins, and it was as if the Lord spoke to me and said, "Ray, pay attention. This is what the world is coming to." And it's true. This is what the world is coming to. And I felt the Lord saying to me, "Ray, go and find out what really matters in life, and then go and do it." And I've been working on that question for the last 15 years because I want to come to the end of my days, be able to say to the Lord, "Lord, I did the best I could. I tried to serve Christ. I tried to serve His kingdom. I wanted to invest my life in those things that would last forever." And so, here at the end of the message, I want to repeat those two questions I asked in the beginning. I want to ask you to ponder them again in the light of what God's Word says. What have you been sowing? Are you happy with what you've been reaping? If the answer to the second question is no, what do you plan to do about it? So many of us have been sleepwalking through life, going through the motions, sowing to the flesh, frittering away our opportunities, and ignoring the needs around us. Here is my prayer for all of us. Lord Jesus, teach us to count our days, and then teach us to make our days count for you. Wake us up, Lord. Shake us up. Do whatever it takes to get our attention. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks, for listening to American Family Radio. On this Labor Day, I salute all our listeners. May God bless you and your family, and may God bless America.
You've been listening to The Law of the Harvest, featuring Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray is president of Keep Believing Ministries and a frequent co-host of Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you would care to listen to this message again, connect with Ray, or learn more about Keep Believing Ministries, visit keepbelieving.com. The Law of the Harvest is a special presentation of American Family Radio.